the Poison Tree, written by Aaron Kelly and read by Allison Reed.
The way we'd go on summer nights in the times we were children and thought we were lovers. The River Road, Sean O'Brien. Prologue. I let the telephone fall from my hand. Panic first cripples and then revives me. My fingertips tingle as they feel their way around the coffee table, scrabbling first for my car keys and then for my mobile. I seem to have 8 limbs as I try to get dressed in the dark, pulling on my coat and a pair of oversized sheepskin boots that I usually wear as slippers. At the threshold, I hesitate for a second, then rush back to my desk and fumble in the drawer for my passport and a credit card that I keep for emergencies. I pull the door behind me in silence, although blood roars and rushes in my ears. With shaking hands, I double lock it. Whether to keep someone in or keep someone out, I can't know yet. Outside, I tiptoe, but there is a crack and a squelch as I flatten a snail beneath my sole. And when I tread in a puddle by the gate, cold water seeps through the soft suede and licks unpleasantly at my bare toes. In the dark interior of the car, I turn the key in the ignition and wince as the air blows icy cold, dispersing the fluffy clouds of my breath. My hands are so cold they feel wet. I am relieved to find a pair of woolen gloves bundled in my left pocket. Before putting them on, I use my mobile to cover the last caller's tracks. I call the house phone, wait for the click of connection, and hang up before it has a chance to ring. The windscreen is opaque with frost, and I do not have time to wait for the heaters to defog the glass. I wipe a porthole in the passenger window and squint back into the dark recess of the bedroom window. If he had heard me, the light would be on by now. He would be silhouetted at the window, mouthing my name. Would that stop me? Would anything? The car is pointed directly at the front of the house. If I turn the headlights on, they will shine into the window, so with no beams to guide me and only a smeared handprint of visibility through the windows, I pull out into the road. Only when I have guessed my way to the end of our lane do I switch on the full beam. The countryside is frosted and stark. Naked hedgerows cast eerie shapes on the road in front of me, and the high banks of the narrow road throw up shadows that take human form. The dead, the missing, and the mist surround me now. Passive spirits who have become active ghosts. I am afraid to glance behind. They pursue me as I drive aggressively, suicidally mounting the grass verge when I take a blind bend much too fast. The seatbelt digs into the flesh between my breasts as I make an emergency stop to avoid hitting the truck, which suddenly looms in front of me. It's a filthy vehicle of indeterminate colour, tools loose in the back, moving so slowly that the driver must be drunk. I have no option but to slow to a crawl behind him. I ought to use this enforced pause for rational thought, but there is nothing rational about this situation. I am driving alone in pyjamas and wet, clammy boots on a country lane in the middle of the night. Nobody knows where I am or why, and in dialing my own home, I have erased the only clue I might have left. I had only been thinking of the others, but for the first time it strikes me that my own safety might be compromised if I continue. A glance at my speedometer tells me that we are travelling at 4 miles an hour. I toot and flash, but by the cold blue glow in his cab, I see that he is making a phone call. I map the road ahead in my mind. I have driven it so often that I know every pothole, kink and camber. I take a deep breath, crunch the gears and plunge blindly into the passing place I calculate is just to my right. The driver of the black car coming in the opposite direction has had the same idea, and we skim each other as we pass with a sickening screech of paint on metal. I accelerate. Let him chase me if he wants to make something of it. My left-hand mirror is wrenched from its casing and falls to dangle lifelessly at the side from a lone wire, like a severed limb attached to its body by a single vein.